Ladies and gentlemen, from the heart of the heartland, it's time for Keeping It 99.
How you feel about it?
I feel...
liking it?
Yeah, it just seems... It just feels airy. It feels airy.
Can I hear it?
Yeah. We got an audio guy here.
Yeah.
I legitimately was talking yesterday, Link came over, and I was like, I'm going to feel so weird going over and asking Nick, be like, what should I do to make this sound better?
We need to do a Rick Fuller.
Hey. There's a tiny bit of airiness.
Kind of a bit, but like...
Hey,
it's not like annoying to you, though, right?
Yeah.
Like it's...
Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sounds pretty good.
Okay. I like pretty good, actually.
Yeah.
It's coming from the guy.
It's
coming from the guy.
Yeah, basically.
So if you have any issues, you blame the sound guy. Keeping It 99, your one-stop shop podcast for everything in the world of heavy metal, rock and roll, Northeast Ohio, sometimes none of that. My name is Eagle, and I am joined right to my right, at per use, by the one, the only, the Rubber City Redbeard.
Yeah.
And there's a third person here. I didn't think it was ever going to happen. It wasn't supposed to happen. I don't even know how it happened. We are joined by drummer extraordinaire... audio guy, all around, overall good dude, and he's on the podcast
now, by popular demand.
Way a lot of popular.
I think that's what happened.
Mm-hmm.
Is that we said something, and then the internet was like, "Do it."
Yeah, I saw. What was it? I saw some hashtag for Citrone where people were trying to push for it.
Yeah.
And, you know what? We did. And Citrone is here. We're talking about Nick Citrone. Thank you for being here, Nick. Hello.
And technically, we're there.
3 years. 3 years later, you're finally here.
Yeah.
You're here.
Yeah, I'm here.
We're here.
We're here.
We're at his place.
We're at Citrone's place.
We're
That's
here.
Right.
Yeah. It's hard to welcome him to his own house.
Yeah. Welcome to your own home, man. This is it.
Thanks for having me.
I like what we did with the place.
I love that chair. I'm like locked on that fucking thing.
Did you see the coffin
leopard,
table?
Leopard print. Oh, I didn't even notice.
Yeah.
All the coolest things in that room, definitely all belongs to my wife. So, which I'm sure she'll be busting in at some point here.
Hell yes. Nice. Well, welcome to the show, man.
No, thanks for having me.
You got a lot.
I was thinking about not saying anything for about another 2 minutes.
Yeah.
Just to, you know, prolong the...
Just jump
they, they, like, they, really, the they really don't have him on here.
They just... I'm like, wait, do they actually have him here, or are they bluffing? Did they break into this man's home? Just a podcast?
We did. And we redecorated it for you.
Yes, Siegenthaler had the best idea, though, of just coming to your house, doing the show when you're not here with your wife and all your bandmates.
Yeah.
And broadcasting it live, and I was like, that's the fucking most brilliant thing I've ever heard. Like, why don't we do that? That would be great.
Just be getting and then, everybody would be leaving, like, what just happened here?
Yeah.
Well, with all the bands that you've been in over the years, like, that would be like years worth of podcasting to get everybody in. Because do you have a rough idea how many bands that you've been a part of since, because you've been playing
nearly
20 years.
You've done fill-in shit, so, but what, like, how many main bands have you been in?
Should we say, like, Ohio bands?
No, all together. Yeah.
I don't know. Let's like rough it around 15 or a dozen or so.
Slot. Wow. Oh,
that's like in 20 years. You know.
That's like almost a.
That's
band
a band a year.
Yeah. Like,
how, so, that, how so? How do you?
And that's not including the ones that you've just done fill-ins for. That's
right. So if we take it back to like okay, like first I played in like a local band that like wasn't like sitting in for my dad's like swing or blues trio thing.
Is that how you started off? Was playing with your dad?
Yeah, and then like the first band I had of my own was like it was called Iris. My buddy Alec and Dean and Matt Kaler, who was also in Etched in Pain.
Yeah, Matt's a cool dude.
No, wait, no, this is audio play. So we're looking at like that was the Glass House when it was on.
The Glass House.
Wow.
The fucking Glass House that tried to compete with the Voodoo.
No, but the very first Glass House that was on Massillon Road by 224.
Oh, yeah.
Deep down in there, so yeah, a couple bands there, and then so you got Iris, Audio Plague, Etched in Pain, before that was Red Cellar Door, so there's 4. Skinny Tree is 5.
Yeah, Red Cellar Door, I remember that.
Mm-hmm. Salt of Wound would have been somewhere around 6. Demora 7. And actually, so there's probably a bunch of other things that were very short in between there, so probably with the fill-in stuff would be in the 15 area, but as far as like real things I was actually involved in would probably be maybe around like 7 or 8.
Yeah, that's
and now you're in now hard. You're in 2 full time, right?
Yeah,
like now you got Indigo Lake.
Mm-hmm. And Indigo Lake's brand new. Replicas has been doing a thing for a while, which it was a full live thing, and that is kind of
which sucks because you guys live, man, were fucking killer. Because like I love some fucking Replicas, dude.
Mm-hmm. So that was, and we were having a conversation about, you know, with like Wyatt, you know, was in that the original live stand of that. From Facemaker,
mm-hmm.
and then it was John, Mike, and Russ who played guitar and bass and pretty much write all of that stuff, and then I came in just pretty much did the live drums aspect of that.
Right.
And that kind of faded down and is now coming back up with an additional guitar player, which is Tony Gardelami from, who's in Demora in the beginning of there, and then Zach Evans doing vocals who was in Red Cellar Doors.
So, like, out of all the projects, all the bands that you've done, why was the show you did 5 years ago with Crush Group, why were we your favorite ones to play with? Why, like, what made me
when did he say
your
that?
Favorite singer? I'm just assuming.
It was just all
you didn't even say that.
It was just all the underlying...
Pretty sure that the show we got to jam together was probably the best point of his career. Let's be honest here.
It was all the underlying sexual tension, pretty much.
It was like, what are we going on? We literally tricked him into playing the show with us.
Tell him.
We literally tricked him 2 weeks before the show into playing drums for us.
Yeah, it seems to be a common threat, people tricking me into playing drums. Tricking
dude, for years, you don't understand. Like, people would be like, dude, you need a drummer to fill in. And I would, like, every time, it was just your name. Because you can fill in on anything, you know what I mean? Like, there's nothing that you can't really play. So I'm just like, Nick Citrone, call that guy, he'll do it.
Well,
that blames my... So I know who to blame for my several years of constant inboxing. Yes. Hey, are you available for
bro, a thing? Seriously.
What the hell is this?
I can't count how many people I told me if I could get a hold of you.
We had Richie. Richie called him and was like, I need you to come to the shop. And he was like, okay.
This was like the bait. Like,
yeah. And then you come to the shop.
Yeah, what are we doing? We're hanging out? We're kicking out?
Yeah, yeah. He's like, what? We're kicking out?
So, well, I happen to have this full band set up, and with most of the band back there, too. If you want to go ahead.
And then Richie being Richie, he's like, you're a drummer. Nick's like, what? And then, like, you saw this look of dread, this instant look of like, fuck.
But they're literally here right now.
Yeah.
But then you got Trip with the puppy dog eyes, and you can't say no to Trip.
No, you can't.
He's just too sweet. He's too sweet of a guy. I was like, just give it. Just lay the puppy dog guys on thick, man. I was like, this other cat's not working out.
Hook, line, and sinker.
Yeah.
Got him.
Got him.
No, that was a good time. I was like, it was so fun because like, a lot of it was like so much straightforward except for like, I think one song was really weird. It's a very Halloween-y song.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But it was just such a good time. I was like... I really can't mess this up. It's like we're playing these 4/4 things.
It's 4/4,
and they're awesome and they're funny and they groove. All you have to do is just sit back and crush the groove.
That's it.
Have a good time.
Trip and I, like anytime Trip and I ever write anything together, it's always we go with the whole formula of we're like, look, it's a cool little open verse, chorus, just an epic last 30 seconds of an ending. Done.
Yeah.
That's it.
Party.
No, I don't really give a shit to, like, I'm a no-nonsense dude, though. I'm like, if it's over 2.5 minutes long, I am not into it. I'm not feeling this shit. It's the punk rock in me. I can't help it. But yeah, no, it was good.
I was listening to one of the podcasts from not too long ago when you guys were actually revisiting back on, like, a bunch of the Crush Crew stuff. You're like, you know, I don't want to say the title is wrong to be offensive. You know, the nerd rap.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there's probably a better genre title for that. Right. Right? What would that be?
For Crush Groove, it was like, what was it?
I think he's talking about Positive Attitude.
Positive Attitude.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that shit was, that was nerdcore rap.
Was that with the band or was that just you?
That was just me and another guy. Like, he would put all these samples together.
Right. But you guys, when you're doing Crusher, you still do all kinds of goofy shit.
Oh yeah, it was right? It was constantly never took any of it serious. Right. Like lyric wise, none of it. Just the whole show was just like, yeah, let's be that band.
Strippers.
Yeah.
The stripper band.
We had the strippers for a minute.
And then they purposely got worse.
It wasn't necessarily purposeful. It just
but as time progressed.
Yeah. It was like, I felt like that was like a good metaphor for the band itself. We just kept like,
experiencing budget cuts.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, things are going to be a little tight for a while. So you got some things going on. You have shows coming up.
Yeah, I've got a show coming up in, I don't know when date this will be out, so it's like 3 weeks from now, but it'll be August 2nd.
At Annabelle?
Yeah. We had a little scheduling snafu.
Mm-hmm.
Where it was going to be on the 3rd. And pretty much short story there is that the guys that are playing that show at Haler, they actually had that show booked for quite some time.
Don't they play at Annabelle's every week, though?
Not every week.
It's like every other week in Haler.
I think they got a pretty solid...
Kohler's in that band, though, right?
Yeah. They have like a solid like 6 week cycle.
Okay, know? 6 week cycle.
Yeah. I mean, and that's in the busy season. They'll also leave it alone for quite a while.
Right.
But yeah, they do a good job down there every time they play, so it's awesome.
Yeah, I just seen the flyer for that August 2nd show.
Yep. Really. I think that up this morning. Yeah.
You guys got Cheap Heat opening up. That's the one band you guys know for sure is playing right now.
Yeah, the other band from Cleveland, which was Racket Man. They're like, they're weird. It's cool stuff. They kind of have like this, they're self-described as a like lounge pop. It's got this like kind of Gorillaz, Tame Impala type of vibe to it. It's like real chill. And I was like, let's make this show weird. Let's go from some chill poppy music through some you know.
I love shows like
crazy
that.
Crazy ass TV, like take it way up a notch, and then we'll bring it right back down into the middle.
Yeah.
With the rock and the melody.
You guys, the clips that I've heard from Indigo Lake are pretty damn slick. I was like, there it is. There's Nick doing his fucking thing.
There's a couple like small things on Instagram, and I think there's like a 40-second video on YouTube.
I have not heard anything.
But the two-song demo that we're doing right now, which we are recording with Mike from, he's in Bragging Rights now. And back in the day, he was in, remember Disgust for the Week?
No.
That's pretty sweet, man. Well, yeah, but he lives up in the falls, and him and Chase are good buddies, so we're like, let's just go record it at his house. Because his computer is not about to die, and mine could shit at any moment. Yeah, the things that you rely on, they could be like, okay, just get me to this next place. Right. Get this next project done. Get me to work one more day.
So are you guys going to be putting that out at the show on August 2nd?
Ideally, we'd be putting it out like a couple weeks before. I think there's the one thing we have left to do is I think the singer has to put vocals on the second song.
Mm-hmm.
Mix it real quick, get it mastered, and then it's just going
to
be out there.
And we get
Where are you going to be able to download that?
We're going to put it on Spotify and all the... We're going to do, like, the DistroKid thing where you just upload it once and it goes everywhere.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Not doing the Bandcamp deal.
We'll do the Bandcamp thing.
Might as well do the Bandcamp. MySpace? You going to hit up MySpace?
I mean, you know, still let I tried to pull songs from there a long time ago. I guess they lost it all.
Napster.
They lost everything, right?
Yeah.
Like, millions and millions and millions.
You get it. Put on that LimeWire if you want to give your computer AIDS.
Yeah, right?
Man, LimeWire was so great.
I used to just get take
out. It really was. It was so great because you could get stuff at what cost?
Everything, basically, at some point. Like, it would just...
Before I ever watched, like, porn videos, I would just download naked boobs on that. Because you could get that shit.
Well, I mean, we were there when the internet started and shit. Yeah, so I remember, like, fucking getting a picture and it's, like, loading, like, in little sections and shit. And it's like, come on, the fuck on. And then your fucking dad picks up the phone. And you're like, fuck, dude, I was halfway there.
I had a quarter of a nipple going.
People don't even know. I have to tell my son just turned 14. Like, I had to tell him. I was like, dude, I used to beat off the fucking Sears catalogs.
That's just a classic. Right?
People Magazine.
Yeah.
People Magazine.
I was like, I jerked off People Magazine more than anything.
It's a lot of fully clothed people in that magazine.
Yeah, there was a lot of, like, really scantily clothed actresses back in the 90s,
too. Well, that is true. That is true.
Mm. With heaving bosoms.
Remember that whole time, like, when you went to go get on the internet, like, after, you know, like, be, like, 13, 12 years old, whatever it was, and be like, I'm going to try and get on the internet in the middle of the night.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
But I don't want anybody to know. So I'm going to try to put this comforter over the... I found out, like, much later that you could get into the menu of your computer and just turn the internal speaker off.
Oh, man. That's the real incognito mode.
Really? Like, you mean I can get on the internet and I don't have to alarm everybody else that I'm doing it?
Yeah. It's a lot safer when you're chatting with people you don't know.
Yeah.
Dudes you don't know that named Tabitha or something.
Oh, the old AOL chat room.
Oh, Jesus.
So are you looking for love or are you looking for heavy metal? Either way, it's room full of dudes.
Either way, you're getting herpes.
Yeah, so coming back from LimeWire and internet herpes, yeah, that demo should be out pretty soon.
Heck yeah. And we get to world premiere in Indigo Leaks.
What?
I heard from the drummer that we get to do a
world premiere. And it technically is a world premiere. We've got people that listen to us in other countries. Oh, boom.
Exclusive. Thank you, guy in Canada.
Do you want to listen to it?
Yeah, let's do that.
Because, I mean, I know this would be the part of the show where we go, fuck yeah, that was cool. We just listened to it.
Right. Through the power of editing.
And it's like, that's sort of time travel, in a way.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of. As we technically we travel through time,
mm-hmm.
and eventually get to hear it's time travel.
Either way you dice it, we're talking time travel.
It doesn't really matter how fast you go. Either way, we're traveling through time.
So this song's called Faded. Like,
this is the one that we're going to be able to open.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Look at that thing. Fancy pants.
Yeah, it's tight. Is when you turn on the Bluetooth speaker and it's like, nah, I'm not going to play through there. But just through your cell phone speaker. Tricked you. Now it says we're going.
I'm in a house with see-through walls.
So that's that.
That's really good.
Thanks, guys.
Really good.
Really, really good.
Yeah. Yes, that's... I think... Yeah, we're going to put the... We're going to get the final mix of that here hopefully in about a week.
Man, that's going to sound... And it's got the catchy... It's like... That's... That's like... Crossover shit.
Like I said, there's plenty of bands on the fucking Incarceration Fest that you guys would fucking crush. That shit is good.
Is that essentially Ink in the Clink, but with more money?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because I saw that, I was like... Yeah. I was like, I saw that, and I was like, but don't they already do that?
Was it Ink in the Clink, like Mushroom Head and...
Yeah, I think that was the thing with that.
What was that? What the Sully, what's his name? Erna?
Godsmack?
That band? Yeah, Godsmack. Wasn't Godsmack there?
Oh, yeah!
I think that was like the big draw. I could be wrong. I don't know. I didn't go. I don't know. I could be wrong.
Yeah, there was like, yeah, but there, I think they had like more like local metal bands on it.
Yeah.
And then it was all of a sudden like Incarceration Fest. And I was like, you're describing to me this thing that I already thought existed, but okay.
It's tattoos, food, and a music festival all in one held on the campus of a famous former prison.
Channel 3's Amanda Abraham has a preview of Incarceration, a three-day event at the Mansfield Reformatory.
Oh, I don't care if she's 20. Hell, I'd fuck her. You can't say you wouldn't fuck her. Maybe that's what I'll do when they find her. I'll go and fuck her. Fuck her right in her pussy.
All right, well, we definitely apologize for that editing error in that story.
Keeping it 99.
Yeah, that shit's really good, dude.
That's real good.
Thanks, man. Yeah, we're looking forward to playing out a bunch.
A bunch.
We're trying to play out a bunch.
Hopping, like, in a van?
We haven't discussed all the particulars of, like, jobs and times off and stuff like that, but everybody in that band likes playing music like that more than they like going to work, so
right.
Well, if the progression is naturally goes in that direction, then it'll go in that direction.
And the guy, just from hearing that, the stuff that you guys are making is like worth putting that kind of investment in, man. Like, right. That's it, you know, because like I know plenty of people that will play me something, and they're like, man, yeah, we're gonna try to get this on the road. I'm like, maybe you shouldn't, though.
Maybe you shouldn't, but it's clean and soft enough for the ladies, but still edgy.
Yeah, you're taking the Motley Crue route. It was not they probably didn't know they were doing it, but the fact is, if the girls go to the shows, the guys will go where the girls are.
Right.
And that's not even a thought in the head of when we're writing things, but it's just after we write something and listen to it, like, okay.
And there's enough parts. There's enough parts in that song that are like heavier than it's most still chunky.
Yeah, it's
like
still
heavy,
chunky enough to fucking bob your head. So
true. Yeah. I'm definitely looking forward to it. Like, so we all got like, we're like five songs in right now, and it's like trying to write enough stuff to get an album going. And
so how are you going to do it for the show? Are you guys just playing five songs?
We're going to play five songs.
Play five. Not
how do you guys prepare for a show? Do you have any wacky zany backstage?
What's your rituals?
Pre-show rituals? Do you have anything that you do before a show?
I both jerk off and throw up.
At the same time? same damn time.
He's a drummer, people. It's called timing.
You have to be on the ball side task.
I can do multiple things in my body at the same time.
No, but usually it's multitasking in a different direction. It's usually drinking a beer and stretching simultaneously. Like, right. Okay, I got to lose some nerves, and I also don't want to get a cramp.
That's the old guy.
Yeah, water per beer thing going on. Keeping it hydrated, but keeping it loose.
Right, yeah. You're like, it's balancing it out.
I don't want to be cramped and drunk. That'd be bad news.
I used to sit up. I would like just sit by the drums. Back when you like smoke in buildings and shit. I used to smoke my cigarette right before we're about to go on while I'm just chugging a thing of water. And I was like so into it where I'm like, nobody gets to talk to me.
Nobody's talking to me.
And
in the fucking zone.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And like Richie and everybody else in band with, like, they're my best friends in the world. They're like, Eagle's doing his fucking thing. And as soon as I be done, I'm like, all right, everybody, you guys ready to have a good old time? Guys ready to get loose? Woohoo!
He's got Bobbin on his sweater already.
I don't know why that was like my ritual. Like, I learned after a while, I'm like, I don't actually have to fucking get in any zone to go sing, rap stupid songs.
Hey, let me just get up here, tell my silly story, and we'll party.
Yeah. Be a good old time. I thought that 5 hour energy was full, and I thought you were giving it to me earlier, and then I picked it up, and it was
oh, did you pick it up?
And I was just like, I was like, oh, he tricked me. I was like, he tricked me.
I didn't even mean to trick him, but it's awesome. So let's go back to the beginning of Nixitron. You grew up playing with your dad?
Yeah. So the beginning, I wanted to play bass guitar. I played...
How old were you in the beginning? Like, when did you strike zero. Interest with...
In the very, very beginning.
In the womb, wanting to play bass.
I was fast forward. I was phrasing it.
Phrasing.
You didn't let me. What was the age in which you got the bug for music?
Well, as...
That sounds smooth, dude.
Smooth. Listen to the calm sounds of the rain on WKPX. Yeah, so I was probably about, like, 12 or something like that. So with that range. Well, no, I know I started playing drums when I was going into, like, 7th grade. So however old in 6th grade.
12-ish.
Yeah.
11, 12.
Yeah. So I was like, you know, those, like, first Rage Against the Machine, I was like, album. I was like, I want to do what that guy's doing on the bass guitar. I want to learn all about that. And then I started listening, like, all the things came along then. And then you got, like, Deftones albums, and I was like, that guy's snare drum sounds fucking crazy. I want to make that sound. And then right around that time, one of my dad's drummers kind of, like, went off on a bender, kind of disappeared. And he was dating one of my mom's friends at the time.
Right.
And so this lady calls my dad and goes, you got to come get all of this guy's stuff. It's out on the curb. So, or no, it wasn't on the curb yet. They're like, you go get it's all this guy's shit, curb. Or it's going on the curb. And so my dad being a good buddy.
Like, how bitter are you that you would throw shit, like...
Listen, my wife puts up, like, now being 35, and I have acquired 5 drum sets, and they're all in this house, in various pockets of this house, and she puts up with it. If I left the house for maybe a month and a half on a drunk bender, she'd probably be like, yeah, I'm getting rid of this dude. Shit. Get
this shit out of my life. Like, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, you should. I think she would sell it.
I don't think she had time to do a yard sale. She was probably too mad to do a yard sale. And they didn't have Reverb or an eBay back then. So.
Right.
So we go get this drum set. My dad's like, yeah, go ahead and lug this thing in the car. Because, you know, at this age, I'm a, you know, 12-year-old professional roadie for stuff like that. I set it up in the basement. I was like, I'm going to set this drum set up and I'm going to try to play it. And it was just that. I would put on 100.7, the buzzard, with the headphones on, and I'd just attempt to play with whatever was going on the radio. Commercial break came on, drink some water, take a piss, go back, and I would just do this for hours on end. And eventually I was like, I think I can kind of play drums now. I'm just going to try to do this.
So just self-taught by sitting down and playing?
Yep. Pretty much.
To whatever you hear.
It didn't work out with the piano as a piano player. It didn't work out with the guitar as a guitar player. Like, I twiddle on those things occasionally. But, like, it was like, I didn't really have drive to, like, learn stuff about it. And, you know, learning the different keys of songs. Or, like, just all that notational homework that goes along with it. Like, because you can, if you bang stuff on rhythm, even without having rudiments and stuff, it's like, if you can play the 4-on-the-floor rock beat, you can jam with some people. If you don't know a 3-chord progression and you're trying to play a guitar, people are like, what are you fucking doing?
Yeah.
Set that down. Get out.
Is that why guitarists are bigger dicks?
I don't know.
Than drummers? Drummers usually like the cool one. The bassist usually gets ignored.
Right. Yeah. I think that's just fundamentals of the job right there.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, you're going to have some really cool guitar players and some really fucking stupid drummers out there, too. Oh yeah, we're also joined by 4-legged Patsy Cline over here.
Yeah, so the snoring sound you've been hearing throughout the show.
Patsy the Wonder Dog. I laughed at that at one point.
The snoring sound you've been hearing is not me or Grant like listening to Nick's story. That's Patsy.
I don't have like sleep apnea.
Awake apnea. Awake apnea.
Speak here. Tell the people what you think.
Say something.
Say something for the record. Tell the people how you feel.
Fuck the record.
and fuck the people.
That's awesome. She's trying to find shit in your beard.
There's shit in my beard. Get it. She probably smells Dumas on me because I went to Dumas and picked up meat this morning.
Oh, you went to Dumas? Yeah, boy. When was the last time you had pasta? I'm looking at your beard now. When was the last time you had pasta?
I got nothing in my beard. Fuck off. I haven't had pasta.
Are you doing it Where's Waldo right now?
No, I'm just impressed with it.
With the beard?
Not just the length, but the longevity of you having the long beard.
Oh, that's like, been forever.
Because I did a long beard for a while, and I do miss having it, because I looked like a...
Your beard rocks.
When I was...
That shit is flowing, dude.
When I would shave my head bald, and I had the beard, it was awesome, because nobody would say anything to me.
That's a classic look.
I
looked tough, shave your head, grow a beard.
But then they hear my voice and it's gone because I do not have like a tough guy, big guy voice. Like,
I feel like you're kind of putting it on. You're trying to put it on.
Hey, what's up? Hey, what's up, dude?
No, I can't.
Hey, bro.
You want some tots?
Even with the beard, like if I let my hair grow out in the slightest, people do not take me as serious. And I try to tell Heather that. I'm like, people act different. If I have a clean shaven head and cock my eyebrows a certain way, right, everybody shuts the fuck up.
Like, that guy danced with the razor this way. Morning.
And I'm still the same fucking dude. Like, I'm not fucking nothing up. But then as soon as my hair grows back, like, everybody wants to come up to me and talk to me and put their hand on me or something. Like, they feel way too comfortable around me.
They just start scratching the beard.
And it's just my fucking hair.
Hey there, little guy. Hey.
Hey. You get slapped for that. I've slapped people for that. I slap hands, I slap faces.
When I had the beard, I couldn't. We went out to Parasson's, and I got pasta, got like a ravioli thing or whatever, and I had this sauce on my beard. Nobody fucking told me.
Oh.
Nobody told me.
Who were you with?
Yeah.
I was with like Trip and
you know, your friends are dicks.
Come on,
Trip.
You're not as nice as you look.
Yeah.
Sir?
I don't know, they might not have noticed, but like 3 hours later, I'm at home, and it was just, I put my hand, and it was just crusted in.
You're like, what is that?
Just this, like,
and then you're like, a little bit.
I was like, I'm shaving it. I think I, like, did a full shave. I was just that was the last time I'm ever
Like, your brain goes to shave, mine goes to shampoo.
That was the last time I'm ever going to do that. It was like, it was like 2 or 3 years ago, the last time that I did a clean shave, and I did not like the look of my fucking face at all.
It's because you're getting older.
I look like E.T. Like, my fucking face just looks scrunched up and weird, and just this weird, I look like Arnold, kind of, like, it was like an oval.
Like, hey, Arnold?
It was like, yeah.
Oh, baby face eagle.
Oh, man, it was terrible. Jessica did not like it, because she didn't even say anything. She just saw it, she's like,
yeah, don't see all this. Don't do this again.
She's like, so, and I was like, I'm probably gonna grow it back. She's like, cool, yeah, good.
Because I'm not attracted to you at all.
I did not have sex with
you.
You
look disgusting. Your face
finally got
fucking
some 5 o'clock. I finally got some 5 o'clock shadow, and I was like, yes.
Yeah, how about this? Is this doing anything?
Yeah, can I at least get a hander with the? Can I get? Am I that? Am I close to the hand?
That's why when I do this, I shave. I always leave the goatee.
Over the pants.
But then you got Nick over here who can just rock clean shave like nothing.
Whatever, because he's got a choice. Look at his hair, though.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
He's got
the
hair.
James Dean, like, I can fucking roll cigarettes up in my sleeve and not look like a dork.
Oh, dude, if you had like a cigarette wrap in your sleeve, that would look awesome.
I don't know.
I think you could pull that off.
I think you could pull it off. I'm telling you, with the cigarette in his mouth.
I don't know.
And the tattoo showing.
Oh. I think, do I look tough now?
Yeah, no, cool. You never really look tough.
Yeah,
but
no,
I'm saying you can
never
pull off that.
I don't have a beard.
You pull off that. You can pull off that look.
Who does that? We have pockets.
Tom Cruise in that one movie, The Outsiders.
No, you have The Outsiders, right?
People, yeah, none of those guys
greasers in the 50s.
Stay golden. Don't get set on fire.
Those
jeans
are pretty tight, though.
Probably kids.
Be uncomfortable holding the cigarette pack in the pockets.
Oh, yeah.
Plus a soft pack at that. Forget about it.
Oh, right.
Those things are done.
I remember soft packs.
Yeah.
If I'm old.
Yeah, when you just wanted to fuck up your cigarettes.
I remember when you had to grow your own tobacco.
So, is Replicas got any shows you guys planning on playing?
Oh, yeah. Are you going to play out again?
We are going to play out again. It's a constant joke when we're at practices of like, yeah, we're totally ready to go. Constant
jokes here at Keeping It.
You got jokes. But right now, it's we're still just... That material is difficult because Russ and John Mike, the guys that write the majority of that stuff, have very odd musical brains when it comes to like timing of stuff and their musical phrasings. I'm like, what is going on here?
Right.
Or does it sound like this type of timing, but it's not actually this type of timing?
Yeah, it's very technical. Is like how I was like, it's super heavy. It's heavy as fuck, and it's super technical. And I'm like, it's not like. You can just jump in and learn it the first day.
It's weird because like it is and it isn't at the same time. It's like it's I guess it sounds easier than it is. I don't know what it is, but like there'll be parts of it where I'm just like, what the fuck is going on here? Can you slow this down halftime for me and explain to me like I'm 5 years old? What is happening? I've been playing drums for like 25 years or whatever, but I don't understand what's happening.
We're going measure by measure.
Mm-hmm. This one's da 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 da, as opposed da 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 da,
which is coming up in 3 measures from now.
which will be right after that. And,
okay, yeah, who's all in the band?
So yeah, that was the same lineup as before, where we had minus White. So you got myself, John, Mike, and Russ, and then you got Zach that was in Red Cellar Doors with me, is singing, and then Tony Garlabeni played guitar and Demora in the beginning of it. Is now also in Replicas. So it's really cool because it's like it's a good thing. Like, everybody knows each other in the band like really, really well from going to shows and playing with various bands with each other for a very long time.
Yeah, for a long time, yeah. I imagine it's probably a comfortable
environment. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's what joking around and fucking laughing is one could probably handle at band practice. So
yeah.
That's it. It's always a good time.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Kool-Aid, Kool-Aid. A 5 cent package makes 2 quarts of Kool-Aid, Kool-Aid. 9 great flavors to drink you love. Kool-Aid, Kool-Aid.
For the very best drink you ever made.
Kool-Aid, Kool-Aid.
Be sure that the envelope says
I am pain.
Have you ever been involved in a band or a project or done something that wasn't overly fun? You don't have to name names, but have you ever been in a band situation where you're like,
I don't want to do this.
Yeah. There's something where you just drive like, okay, this is gonna be arduous.
Yeah,
it's not gonna be fun. It's gonna be all work and no play. Gonna make Nick a dull boy. Yeah, I mean, you're always gonna have that to some extent. There's always gonna be something that you do that you don't like, and eventually you'll end up getting sick of it enough to go, all right, fuck this, or because it's so inherently.
There she is.
Oh, now you speak.
There she is.
Because it gets so, you know, inherently jacked from, you know, fundamentally that people would just be like, no, fuck this. The bottom's dropping out from under it,
right.
And it kills itself.
I once went to a show way back in the day. I don't remember the band, but I did get to see them break up on stage.
Ooh.
And before they were playing, I was listening to the drummer and the singer. Like they were going off on each other. And the drummer's okay. he's just like, I'm not gonna fuck it up. And the singer's just like, he's like, I swear to God, dude, you fuck it up. You're out. You're fucking done. And they went like 30 seconds into the very first song, and the drummer just got up and fucking walked off.
Word?
And the band decided that they were going to finish the set without the drummer.
Oh, no.
And so they maybe made it 2 or 3 songs into that, and, like, I wish that, because this was a long time ago, I wish that cell phone cameras were a hot thing.
Where was this at?
This was at Peabody's. It was one of the main stage?
Yeah,
it was on the main stage. But it was like one of those guerrilla production, like 20 band type deals.
Just disaster unfolding before your eyes. That had to be such a confused audience.
Oh, for sure.
Just like, what the fuck is going on
right now? Right now?
And like, but the singer still insisted that you get up to the front, you fuck shit up,
And it was the weirdest.
All the classic tropes while everyone's like, whoa.
It was the weirdest fucking situation. I almost thought that they were doing some sort of performance art piece. And so, like,
you guys are a comedy troupe. I get it. This is sweet.
I was like, oh, I was like, they're really
kids in the hall.
Something existential or something. I don't know, man. It's really deep art, but it was.
Supposed to be a John Cage composition.
Yeah. But like they did a couple songs, and then finally like the singer was just like, we're gonna do one more, we don't really need a drummer. And the guitar player just put his shit down and he was like, fuck you, just flipped him off and walked off. And I was like, this is the greatest thing.
Oh, so it's apparently the singer. That's the problem. Singer
because he was not good.
Two of them have been like this. So.
He was not good. He made me look like a decent singer. That's how bad he was. So oof. I was like, oof.
Just trying to keep it going, huh?
Oof. Just gotta keep the band alive. He's like one of those dudes that, you know, like, he probably, like, had a million different resets of the band. Hey!
Hola.
Hello!
How are you?
How are
you? Awesome. Awesome.
Good.
Patsy's trying to get involved in this podcast also.
Yeah, she's the star, really.
Oh, are you guys recording?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Akron, Ohio! Let me hear you. Get up in the front row and fuck shit up.
Who counted those songs in then?
What's that? Oh,
with another drummer. Oh, like, oh. Who decided when the song was?
It was like
start?
It was like one of the guitar dudes. He was like, ooh, he just did not.
Oh god,
and, like,
he tapped his foot.
And you could see the pain on the rest of the band's face, and the singer's just like mad. He's like, no, we're gonna do this.
We're gonna get through this, guy.
We're gonna get through it. Gonna pull out. And in between the two songs too, he would just talk shit on the drummer, dude. And he was just like, almost don't even think you need a drummer. I'm like, you need a drummer, dude. Like,
yeah, this, you this, can't. You have to have a. This. You're not good.
There is a basic. There's a basic thing when it comes to having a metal band and a drummer.
The only thing that could have made that situation more cringy / awesome was if maybe during the parts where he didn't do vocal lines, like he just started doing some like metal beatboxing.
Oh, oh man,
this song's called "I Hate My Parents."
I would have been the biggest fan right then and there. Like, this is
you
this
lost
is for me.
You lost like, me. Give me a mic. You had me.
I'll do it.
This is for me.
This for me.
I always wanted to have like one of those kind of shows. That was like always my dream after that. But, like, man, I'd love to just like break up on stage. Just
like I've seen it happen, but the best one was Piss Mongrel.
Piss Mongrel?
Yeah, when they fucking broke up and they were playing with Fully Consumed that night.
Wait, is this another on stage breakup?
Yes.
Do tell.
The best of the best.
Do tell.
Yeah.
Like, so awesome that we kept the fucking, it was a piece of paper that had the lists of the bands on it and shit, and the times.
Okay.
And we framed that shit because Joe from the Outpost fucking wrote, broke up on it, right? So we knew it was from that night. And I think the one guy's in Schnauzer or was in Schnauzer. But either way, the guitar player and the fucking bass player got into a fist fight. Like, they got into an argument, and then the guitar player punched the other guy, and they fucking broke up. Like, punched him in the face. And this is while they're setting up. Like, they didn't even get to start playing.
Didn't start
like,
yet.
Oh, wow. They are setting up their gear, and these two guys get into a fucking argument, and then, bow! Fuck you, I'm out of here! And it broke up.
Wow.
On stage before they even started.
That's wild.
And those guys are grown. Ass dudes, like in their 40s. This was not like a young dude thing. This was like grown ass men punching each other on stage in a band.
Like, you didn't have that much of the argument or the tension before you got to the venue. They're like, oh, it's all coming out now. It all comes out on the road, as they say.
Speaking of that, you're 35 years old now.
Whoa.
You've been playing shows since you were what, like a teenager, right?
Yeah,
he's not going anywhere. He's just 35.
This is my podcast, okay?
He's just 35.
I worked a long time for this.
It's midlife. Tell him.
Yeah.
Okay.
What's the biggest difference from playing now than from doing stuff like in the first couple of years of like getting into it? Is there anything different? And you know, are you and your the musicians more mature, responsible
about
things now?
Well, I consider myself a little bit more seasoned, you know. I piss the sound guys off way less now than I did when I was 17 years old, I'm sure. Like, it used to be like,
Yeah, okay, so Swampy from the Robin Hood.
I was gonna say let's talk about the Rhino and Swampy.
So what I would first like be do some shows there, like I would have like a couple cymbals, like a little splasher, you know, the little ding bell that everybody would have on the drum set.
And everybody had those back then. Everybody had the ding, because that's how you knew when to fuck shit up.
That's when the breakdown happened. Bing. So it was like the most not heavy noise, but it was like ding. Let's party.
You're right.
But so I would have these bells, like these little stupid cymbals, like all like right up on like where my toms were. And so I'd be like coming up with a microphone and a microphone stand, like where the fuck do you actually expect me to put this microphone, kid? You want to leave me some fucking room here? And I was like, that's ridiculous. What do you mean? Just mic it up. And then eventually I was like,
the mic's like this big, dude. Yeah, what are you talking about?
Find a corner, point it at the drum. Jeez, how hard could it be? And then fast forward to today, you know, like, I do that at Annabelle's now, where I'm, you know, a sound guy most weekends, and it's like, are you sure you want to have your high tom at that angle? It's kind of facing the back wall more than, you know, it's more, the head is more vertical than it is horizontal.
And they're not like, look, dude, it's I just know the way how to set my it's just, stuff up.
I know how to set my, it's just the way I play.
It's my
it's
stuff.
Just the way I play.
Do people give you shit, like, now that you're the sound guy?
Yeah, you're on the other side.
Is karma, like, fucking caught up with you, and is there people that are, like,
sound
super difficult?
Karma.
Is there people being super difficult ever?
Sure, but you usually, I will give as much help as I think that maybe they will take on, and it'll become really apparent real fast how much they're willing to work with you, and by the time the show is ready to start, you know, there's things you can do to change it that'll make it sound the best to the whole room.
Right.
You know, I understand as, you know, the biggest thing is that a guitar player's got to hear himself. I get you. Absolutely. But if your shit's way too loud, your vocals are going to sound bad. It's just going to sound bad. You know, so some people will turn down and will work with you on it. Some people won't. You know, drummers that have, like, old shitty heads and don't know how to tune stuff, or have a drum, like, literally upside down and not the right way, don't know how to set their shit up right, will be like, I'll help you as much as I can, but...
Right, you're completely fucking stupid, so
Do you physically move it yourself? Like, it's upside down.
I'd be like, would you think about doing something like this? Like, maybe a slight adjustment? I'll, like, maybe move it to this end? They're like, no, that didn't work for me. All right, no, that's cool. Yeah, do your thing. Drum positions aren't a big thing, but it's like, no, I'm gonna make sure my guitar amp is louder than like three drum sets going in off at once. It's just my tone doesn't sound right if I don't do that.
Oh, Richie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes it's gotta be loud to sound good. But if the room that you're in doesn't facilitate that, you'll probably have a great time. The audience, maybe not as much. And then they will come back, hey, I can't hear the vocals. Can you turn up the vocals?
I hear that every show.
Oh, yeah, because there's always the people that are at the show that come up.
Can we get more of me on the monitor?
Yeah. Yeah, that's fine. But yeah, it's the audience member, you know, the guy's girlfriend or the guy's dad that goes, can you hear the vocals that much?
Oh, yeah.
It's like, well, because he's singing like a bitch. if your drums are this loud and your singers are like, guess what? There's gonna be more drums in your vocal mic than vocals, and you're gonna have a bad time.
I love it. I love it way because it's always the singers. You never hear like the drummer or the guitar player being like, I need more of the vocals in my thing. It's always the vocalist being like, I need more of me in there, and I love it when they do it for the whole show. Like,
continually.
Like four or five times doing the thumbs up at you, just like, hey man, just more. And you're like, I can't fucking go anymore. Sing louder. Okay.
I appreciate, so Frank from Feds,
mm-hmm.
It has the best way to put it. Every time he goes, start me off normal. And as I start getting gassed throughout the set, just bring the gain up a little bit.
Brilliant!
And if he needs to hear himself more, or he just wants it louder in general, he will be like, hey, sound guy, can I get more vocals? He goes, hey, Nick, turn me up. Turn me loose. And I'm like, no fucking problem, man. Here you go.
That's the way to do it.
That guy's brutal.
You turn me loose.
That's a great fucking band.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Great fucking band. The guitar player's an asshole. That's a great fucking band. Oh, he knows. Yeah, Dave knows he's an asshole. He knows.
Yeah, the funniest part about it is what Dave doesn't want you to know. Top secret information.
Yeah.
Is he's actually a super nice dude. Yeah. If he ever hears this, he'll be super.
He's like, don't fucking tell people that I fucking cry around puppies and shit. Don't fucking tell people that. Even though it's the truth. Don't tell people that. Ruin my image.
Gotta keep the gimmick rolling. He's an asshole. He's a total douche.
don't tell people that shit. Heard you talking shit. Said I was a nice guy.
Well, you said I was a nice guy. I'll show you a nice guy. How you doing today? You want me to buy you a drink?
We'll go there frequently, like get around to Beers and Bells or something, and says the same thing every time. He just goes, give me all your money. It's $14.50. Give me all your money.
Don't stop the fight! Fight! Fight!
So what's the whole deal with the fucking Cavs drumline?
Oh, that. We're not allowed to talk about that?
We can talk about that.
Can we talk about that?
No, secrets or...
Well, they're not really secrets.
Did you ever look at the playbook, dude? Do you know anything?
No.
Yeah, how funny.
I need to
place
a bet, dude. I need some insider information.
I have walked by LeBron James before.
Yeah?
Yeah, and it actually says, in the contract, too, it's like... You will not initiate conversation with players.
Yeah, so if they come up to you and they're like, hey, what's up?
But not like, hey, man, how's it going? Let me stop you real quick.
You're like, hey, I live right down the street from where you went to school. Isn't that sweet? We have things in common. I'm from the same place as you are.
Huh. So a kid from Akron, you know.
So it was called the Q-Sticks, right?
So it was the Q-Sticks until this summer when they changed it to the Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse.
Mm.
Oh, yeah.
So that's just a thing that happened.
Yeah.
And so now they've been rebranded as the 216 Sticks.
Yeah. Oh, nice.
So if
there's ever like a name change in the future then for the team, then, you know, the drum squad name still sounds relative. You know, because like you got the dance squad, you know, the scream team, and you got the Cavs girls, known as the Cavs girls.
Okay.
You know, none of that stuff's changing anytime soon, but it was like, oh, we had the Q in the name, and now the Q's gone. We're going to have to do something a little different here.
But you are still doing this, right?
Yes.
Rocking it up.
I will be auditioning for my fifth year, nice. Which will actually be the day after Porch Rock.
Do you have to audition?
Yeah.
Do they just not know who you are?
They
don't they understand automatically, like, oh, Nick's a drum. Well, he doesn't have to really audition because he's fucking amazing.
Well, the guys on the drum squad too, but the people that make, I don't know, there's always new talent coming around, and if someone's going to do a better job at that than I am, then they should probably
good luck finding that guy.
There's a lot of people on that drum squad that are superior drummers to me, but that's, you know, it's a group, you know?
Right. So
and
you got
the homies.
So you got to do it through the finals, right? Like won the finals.
Like the year. And that was the thing where, so when we do these, we got like 7 or 8 guys, right? They're usually on a schedule for a game, for an encore performance. And it came down to like, so that last game, you know, we were talking to like our handler, our director, this guy named Adam, and he goes, this is game 7. You know, we will either lose or win the fucking NBA Finals.
It's the biggest moment in Cleveland sports history
now. Because everybody that's on the drum crew, if they can make it out by call time, everybody's invited. And, I'm not even sure. I think we had a performance that day. I'm not even sure if we had a performance that day. But we were like, and there's so many fucking people there. We're like, so many extra camera crews, so many people outside. They had the fan fest stage. And like we like went out there for a minute, like you could literally feel the ground shaking with just like people like jumping up and down. It's like I'm standing on asphalt and I'm feeling vibrations.
That's insane.
It's fucking crazy. And they actually had to call all non-outside essential personnel to go back in the building because people were ripping the barriers up to get into the fan fest to watch on the big screen. Oh, shit. The rebound, the block. And the shot, you know, all that shit down. I've never seen so many grown men cry at one time in my entire life.
I cried like a bitch. Like as soon as like the final buzzer went off, Like, I was sitting on my floor crying, and my son at the time, like, he was, like, you know, 10, 11, and he, like, crawls over my shoulder, and he's looking at me, and he looks at my wife, and he goes, "Dad's crying."
What's wrong with
I've
Dad?
Never, he's like, "I've never seen Dad this cry."
Is, Dad has and water just, coming out of his
he
eyes.
He smiled so big, like he had one up on me. He's just like, he's like,
"You're a pussy.
Does,
you're a pussy. You're a pussy.
Bitch,
you're a fucking, fucking pussy," bitch. And I know it. Oh, I'm so getting over on you.
But just thinking about it now, I'm getting like goosebumps a little bit. Man. Just like that feeling of like, we did it. It happened.
Yeah. And then like, so then after that was done, like, all right, we all got done with everything. Every celebration. It was like, now it's time to leave the stadium.
Oh, you're not doing that for 4 hours.
Oh, no. We got out of there semi-quick.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, maybe we might have had to stay like in maybe an extra 20 minutes, half an hour then later. And we went and just roamed the streets with the rest of Cleveland.
Oh,
just
man.
Every street unofficially blocked off. If you're trying to drive a car, forget about it.
Fuck it, yeah.
No, there is just people in every street. We walked from the queue down to wherever Club Liquid is, okay. Which I only heard about like on the radio as a child. Like,
right.
It's not called The Liquid. It's just called Liquid. Blah, blah, blah. We're like, let's go to there. And everyone's going to have a round. We'll take turns buying the rounds. You get a High Life, a Q-Stick, which is a double Tito's and vodka with two limes, and a shot of Jameson. And we did several rounds of that.
Nice.
Like 10 people, and they were like, all right, now we have to get up in the morning and play. There's like the homecoming ceremony, which is them coming back from the plane, which was delayed because they stopped in Vegas because they couldn't party in L.A.
Yeah.
So they stopped in Vegas with the plane and then came back, brought the trophy out. That was over behind the IX Center. That shit was crazy. People were like, they couldn't get into the parking lot anymore. Like my buddy Cameron, who was set to play this festival, you know, play this on the stage where they were having this whole celebration. He was like, I couldn't get in. So I pulled my car off the freeway onto the berm and just walked.
Holy shit.
I put a white t-shirt in my window so they won't tell it.
Is that a thing?
Yeah, well, that's a thing. You didn't know that?
No.
Oh, yeah. Like, yeah, you just put like a, if you have anything white, slap that in your fucking door, and then they know, they're like, okay, it's recently broke down, and we're not going to tell it, because, yeah, it's a thing.
The things you learn.
I didn't know you knew that wasn't a thing. That's crazy.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
But so, yeah, and then there's that, and then the parade, and then after that, I was like, I've been in Cleveland for like 4 days in a row. And I think I've been drunk for every single one of them. I need like days to recoup from this championship hangover.
Yeah.
It was an epic a bunch of days in a row.
It's amazing how many people like were up in Cleveland after that happened, like the million people that were there or whatever. Mm-hmm. And you only had one or two serious problems. Other than that, like everybody was just in love with what happened and getting along.
Somebody was like, okay, so I think there's three things that happened. One of them, a cop car got smashed because people were standing on top of it dancing. Right. And some of the windows got broke. There was a shooting, but it was just a guy that had his gun in his like holster or his pocket, and he didn't have the safety on, and it went off and he caught himself in the toe.
Oof.
And that guy was fine. And then I think someone was jokingly attempting to see if they could take a fire truck. But he actually didn't get started or get it anywhere.
Alcohol involved.
Alcohol is probably involved.
Yeah, that city was drunk. Oh, yeah. That whole city was drunk.
They ran out of champagne at Liquid. We know that.
Lake Erie was nothing but beer.
How's the Liquid place going to run out of liquid?
Right?
The most important celebration liquid.
You guys got no more liquid here?
Whoa!
What's your name, bro?
What solids do you have?
I didn't know liquid was a dry bar.
So, thank you.
Finally.
We're coming on. So we've been trying to get you on forever. We've been trying to get you on.
We have called you. We have written you. We have dropped you like mail through the USPS. We texted you. We beeped you a couple times.
And you just ghosted us, right?
We were like, what's...
Do you not have my pager number?
911. Like, we were blowing you up forever.
So thank you.
These are lies.
No, absolute truths. So thank you so much for being on. We're gonna play you guys out with some replicas. You guys got some Indigo Lake August 2nd with Cheap Heat. We played them on the last show.
Annabelle, are you gonna go to that show?
You
have to work.
No, I don't, but Kenny's trying to... podcast at night, so we
but we can push that back.
We can continue to go to the show and podcast there.
We can podcast
that. We can podcast in my dad's car. I got a new dad car.
Yeah, but we can get there Annabelle's early and be like, hey, can we go downstairs and sit down at the fucking table?
I know the band playing. I know the drummer.
I don't think they're going to go for that.
None of them.
I'm just kidding. No, you should do a podcast from the Dadmobile.
Yeah. We'll podcast in the Dadmobile, and then we'll get some Mr. Zubs, and then we'll go see the Citroen and some Cheapy.
Or come with the bass band. That was a joke.
Cars with coffee with comedians and shit.
Yeah, we'll do that. Those
in car.
We'll do a little video of it and stuff. It'll be great.
That's fine.
By the way, season 5 is coming out soon.
So we're going to take Patsy out. We're going to play you guys with some replicas. This shit is dope as balls, I'm assuming. I haven't heard it yet.
I haven't heard anything bad from replicas.
But like, so. I did a one show once with replicas and I hated that I had to go on after you guys. It pissed me. I was like, oh, great. Great. Yeah, going to go up there with my poop jokes. So here's some replicas. Thank you again, Nick. Until next time, my name is Eagle.
I'm Rubber City Redbeard.
I'm Nick Citrone.
Yeah,
Nick Citrone.
Yeah.
Show me what you got. What you got? Good job!